Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
A lot of other teams that were recruiting me were, you know, were saying, oh, Saban might not be there, and he's still there. I take it personal every time I play the Cowboys from here on the rest of my career. Man, DJ is the guy, man.
Yo, welcome to All Things Covered with Patrick Peterson and Brian McFadden, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Man, listen, the name says it all. So if you like what you hear, make sure you leave us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. No 4 stars, no 3 stars, but make sure you leave us a 5-star rating. But check this out. You can also watch us on YouTube. Just go visit youtube.com/allthingscovered. So make sure you subscribe and turn on your alerts so you can get this show right away. Pat P., another big-time show. What are we going to cover in this episode?
Yo, Mac, we're going to cover up the Vikes minicamp. I know all the Skull Nation want to hear about that.
Yes, sir. I want to hear about that.
Also, we got a big-time safety out of the Big Apple.
Yes, sir.
He went to the rival school that I really don't like saying their name. But they're in the SEC. Don't you say that, Mac. Don't you say that.
Hey, when we have a Miami Hurricane on, you always saying what I don't want to say. So,
all right, you're right.
And no phone, the rabbit got the gun.
But anyway, Big Apple, we got one of your very own, Xavier McKinney, here joining the show. If you want to hear what we're talking about, don't go nowhere. Stay tuned.
New York Giants, stand up. First quarter of the show. It's time to chop it up. You guys know how we roll. And during this Chopping It Up segment, we're going to talk about vaccinations in the NFL.
Yeah.
Big news coming from the NFL last week. Definitely a hot button topic regarding vaccinations. And they're not trying to make players, you know, get vaccinated. They're not forcing the issue. But I can tell you this much. Life for players that are vaccinated is much different than players that are not vaccinated. Let me give you guys some insight if you're not already aware of the new rules and regulations for players that do get the vaccine and for players that don't get the vaccine. If you're vaccinated, no daily testing required. Masks not required at club facility or during team travel. No physical distancing required. You may eat in the cafeteria. That's important. Getting your nourishment. No travel restrictions. No quarantine after COVID exposure. Now, if you're not fully vaccinated, you must get tested every day. You must wear a mask every day. You must remain physically distant. You must quarantine after COVID exposure. And you will have travel restrictions. And you can't even go home during your bye week. So, Pat P., you don't have to reveal if you have been vaccinated or not.
I'm vaccinated, man.
Okay, well, hey, you're vaccinated. Did you have any issues when you got vaccinated? Like, were you down bad?
I was perfectly fine, man. I felt.
Oh, you were normal.
Yeah, normal, man.
Okay. So let me ask you this question, Pat P. How, for teams, let's say, you know, how difficult could it be? Granted, this is your first rodeo with these new protocols in place, but how difficult could it be if you have 20% of the team vaccinated and the other 80% is not vaccinated? Like, what are some of the hurdles that could arise for guys, for team-wise, you know, if you don't have the majority of the guys vaccinated?
I just feel like, you know, if you're not vaccinated, like you said, you're just living in a different world, first and foremost. You know what I mean? I just think, you know, why go through those same, why put yourself at risk of going through that again? You know what I mean? Everybody have their different views on the COVID, right? You know, on the shot. No matter which brand it is, everybody have their different views. But at the end of the day, if we all in this and trying to win a championship, and if it's a very small percentage of those shots affecting people, why not put yourself in the best position possible to win a championship? You know, if that's what you have a desire of doing. Because, you know, for me, I hate wearing the mask, honestly. Although I feel like this was one of my healthiest years, you know, in my NFL career as far as seasonal sinuses or just getting just a normal cold by wearing the mask. But at the end of the day, that stuff is, you know, it's hard to breathe. You know, you just feel just very disoriented, you know, by having it on. So, and if you do have the shots, you know, almost can have a, you know, a free life all over again. So to me, I got, you know, a greater risk of not passing it on to my family members. Two, you know, I can be normal again. I don't have to wear the mask. I don't have to worry about getting tested every day, because that's a hassle too. You know, that changes, you know, everything. Say, for instance, you're running late one day. You still got to get tested before you run in the building. If you're going to run late one of those days out of that long season that we plan on having. So I'd rather just, for me personally, I'd rather just nip all that in the bud, get tested so I can get back to a normal schedule program.
Yeah. And you know, Coach Zimmer weighed in on this topic as well. Your new head coach, Mike Zimmer, the unvaccinated players are going to have a harder time in the season. They're going to be wearing masks. They're going to have to social distance. They'll have daily testings. They won't be able to go home for the bye week. They have to come back here and test every day. When we go on the road, they won't be able to go out to dinner with anybody. They have to travel on different buses. Wow, I didn't know that. They'll have to travel on different buses, travel on planes differently. A lot of the meetings will be virtual like this. Wow. So there is a different life for players that will not be vaccinated, travel on different buses. So it's almost like you're not necessarily 100% part of the team.
Yeah.
And also, too, when you talk about the chemistry, I mean, that's the thing, too, you have to worry about. And I tell people this all the time. Championship teams that win championships, they're not necessarily always the best team, but they're the healthiest team. They were the luckiest team. And when you talk about this upcoming NFL team, upcoming NFL season, I'm sorry. One thing you better believe, the healthiest team will get to the championship, and the team that has the least to worry about regarding COVID will get to the championship as well. And play everything else, definitely, that plays a big part. But you got to be healthy when it comes to trying to get the champ. Look at the NBA. I mean, heck, if Brooklyn was healthy, it's safe to say, you know, we all would agree that they would have had a legit chance to get to a championship. So hopefully, you know, everyone, you know, feels comfortable. Because I know Cole Beasley spoke out and said he's not taking the vaccine. You know what I mean? He's a major contributor to their offense. And like you said, what happens if something he gets get around someone who's been exposed to the virus? Now he has to sit back. You know, what if it's a big divisional ball game? He can't play. What if some of the other wide receivers don't get vaccinated as well? They can't play. Now you go in a game against the Patriots or the Dolphins shorthanded, and regardless, a loss is going to be a loss, regardless of who's not suited up or not. So this is something we definitely need to weigh in and continue to monitor. But it seems like there are a lot of Viking players that are, you know, buying into whatever they need to do to be where they need to be. So that's a good sign for your new team as well. As you stated, you've been vaccinated. You feel pretty good. No issues, you know, so that's a plus. So we got to continue to pay attention to this situation with the NFL. Now it's time for school check-in. I like how that sounds. School check-in. Viking fans love this part of the show, and we love you guys for supporting what we do and support our very own Pat P. And talking about support, man, y'all make sure y'all go get Pat P's jersey. It's out right now. I got mine in the background, hanging in the background. Y'all go get that Pat P number 7. That white one is smooth. That white. Boy, if y'all can come out of that all white top, white bottom, that might be real, real decent. All white socks showing no purple. I like that. But yeah, Pat P jersey is available now. Y'all make sure y'all go support my guy. And heck, man, who knows, man? Y'all might get it signed one day. He might go ahead and sign that number 7 one day for you guys. It's out right now in stores. Make sure you go get his jersey. But before we get into the thick of things, you guys just had mini camp. We definitely want to talk about something that just happened. Vikings rookie defensive tackle Jalen Twyman is expected to make a full four times. His agent, Drew Rosenhaus, informed Adam Schefter, and the Vikings have been informed as well. Twyman's gunshot wounds were described by Rosenhaus as superficial exit wounds. They were sustained inside a vehicle while he was visiting his aunt in Washington, D.C. The x-rays were all negative. He won't need any surgery. Twyman simply was just at the wrong place at the wrong time. And talking to him today, he's going to be okay. That's all that matters, Rosenhaus said via Adam Schefter. We're thankful he's okay. He will make a full recovery. Some devastating news, number one, to hear a player go through that. But the positive, it sounds like he will be okay and he will be able to continue his career on and off the football field. And, you know, the rookies were just with you guys last week. You know what I mean? And I know you didn't get a chance to really know Jalen that much, but he's a part of the defense. And you said instantly when you saw his face, you knew exactly who it was. So clearly he did something to stick out to you. But what are your thoughts hearing this about one of your new teammates with the Vikings?
You know, devastating news. And you see, you know, anybody, you know, in the wrong place at the wrong time, you know, especially visiting a family member just to, you know, stop by, say hello or whatever the case may have been. But, you know, I haven't seen, like you said, I haven't seen much, you know, of him throughout mini camps and OTAs. But I know exactly who he is. You know, it definitely, my heart go out to him and his family.
Yeah.
And hopefully he has a speedy recovery coming up here pretty soon.
No question. I hate that we had to start off our school check-in with a bit of some negative news, but happy and thankful, like you said, knowing that Jalen will make a full recovery. And you just got to be careful. You know, every day you wake up, understand it's a great day to be alive because someone didn't get an opportunity to say that today. But in some positive news regarding the Minnesota Vikings, they just completed minicamp. Number one, the first positive to come from minicamp, no injuries. Everyone was doing what they're supposed to do. They got a chance to get on the grass, move around, make some plays, communicate, get off the grass, scot-free, no injuries. That's a plus. The second big-time plus, one of your big contributors on the defensive end, a guy that everyone was hoping to see show up at minicamp, Danielle Hunter, he was there. He agrees to restructure his deal. Having a guy like Hunter back in the lineup, Pat P, he's an LSU alum as well. You're older than him. You didn't get a chance to play with him at LSU, but seeing what he's been able to do in the National Football League, especially the last two seasons. He's a first-team All-Pro in 2019, second-team All-Pro in 2018. The last two seasons, he's combined for 29 sacks, the youngest player to ever reach 50 sacks. He's happy. He has new money. He's healthy, most importantly. How huge was it to see Danielle Hunter right back on the field with you guys last week during minicamp?
Man, it was great to see Danielle back, looking better than ever. You know, my first opportunity seeing him, you know, not up in person. We played him a couple of times up until this point, the preseason. I think we played him in 2018, if I'm not mistaken, and 19 preseason as well. But to see him up in person is definitely, he looks like Javon Kearse a little bit, as far as his body stature, how cut up he is, and how freakish of an athlete that he is, and the body structure that he has is definitely a pleasure to be on his side now, watching him rush that pass and making my job a lot easier to defend passes. So, like you said, the main camp OTAs, the energy's been great, the vibe's been great, continuity's been there. Now it's just going to be on us on staying healthy and going out there, putting in the work.
And putting in the work, you guys made another addition to your defense. You know, a few weeks ago, we talked about Breland being added to the secondary. You brought in another savvy vet, 2013 first-round draft pick, defensive rookie of the year, who previously played with the Vikings in 2018, Sheldon Richardson. He's now a part of the team as well. Just talk about what he brings to the table, another experienced guy that has been known to be a difference maker at certain points in his career. You add him to the defensive front. You know, what are your thoughts about that addition as well? Because like you said, when they put pressure on the quarterbacks, they make your job easier, to say the least. You know what I mean? Right. And when you're able to do that, that's when you get passes thrown directly at you. So hearing the news that you guys added Sheldon Richardson, what does that mean to you, Pat Pete?
Man, you know as well as anybody, Mac, in this league, you can't have enough corners and you can't have enough defensive line.
Agreed.
You have to have people that can cover receivers. You have to be able to have guys that's able to make the quarterback life a living hell. And I believe we have that chemistry. We have that formula, per se. So, you know, Sheldon, it was a great pickup for us. Add nothing but depth to this defensive line, stop that we already have. The table is made for us. Now it's our turn to go out there and feast.
Hey, I'm going to tell you this much. I'm looking at the defensive depth chart, right now. You got Hunter. You got Michael Pierce, Dalvin, DJ. You got Nick. You got Eric Kendricks, Barr, Dantzler, Harrison Smith, Xavier Woods, Pat Peterson. Now, listen, that's the starting lineup right there. That's the starting lineup right there. You know what I mean? So, I mean, look, man, if you guys stay healthy, especially not knowing the status of the ultimate foe in your division, in Aaron Rodgers, like not knowing the status, if he's going to go, you know, to Hawaii forever, or if he's going to go host Jeopardy or whatever the case may be, that defense right there, what time I said it was, Pat P?
Ass cutting time.
No question. And then you got Sheldon Richardson on the two deep. I love Chaz Surratt coming out of North Carolina. How's he looking? He was an athletic. Remember, Chaz Surratt used to play quarterback turned linebacker at North Carolina. I think you guys selected Chaz Surratt in the fourth round. Have you seen anything from Chaz Surratt?
I feel like he's been having a great OTAs, mini camp, like you alluded to, very versatile, and a very athletic guy who's playing linebacker. So I think I'm looking forward to him having a big year for us this year.
Yeah, I mean, I love you guys. Also, you got Janoris Robinson, our friend of the show. He's part of the two deep as well. How has he been looking?
He's been looking real good. Mm-hmm. You know, been seeing him very intimately throughout practices. But, you know, like I said, we got a lot of guys that can get after the ball. And this team and the guys on this team seem very focused and very dialed in and honed in on their responsibility, making sure that they're not the weak link on this defense or on this team as a whole.
I love it. I mean, on paper, that defense look real good. And we know what your offense have. You know what I mean? We look at the stars on the offensive end. So this could be a special year for the Vikings. Let's throw that out in the universe and allow that to manifest and allow these guys to put in work. Because I am a Viking fan right now. So if the Vikings get to the Super Bowl, I don't have no hard feelings. I will be there in La La Land.
Yes, sir.
With my number seven. And make sure y'all go get that number seven.
Let me get the white one for you.
Get that seven, get the white one. Y'all make sure y'all get the Vikings gear. It's going to be a fun season. Y'all, hey. And right now, the train, they got room on the train. So when the train get to rolling, don't try to jump on there. It might be a little too late. It's going to be a fun year. Now it's time to transition to Has Pat Heard. But before we get to Has Pat Heard, guys, make sure you stay tuned with us, because after halftime, New York Giants fans, you don't want to miss this outstanding conversation we have for you guys involving Xavier McKinney. He has a lot to say about his career so far, the expectations for the New York Giants, and Daniel Jones. So stay tuned with us. But before we get to halftime, Has Pat Heard? Pat's record so far, out of 62 questions, he's gotten 41 correct, 66%. He's shooting better than Ben Simmons at the free throw line. Dang, Eric, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that.
Hey, man, I can miss half of that and still be better.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. Our producer, Eric, he loves Ben Simmons to death, and it's been a tough, tough day for him.
24 hours.
It's going to be a tough offseason for him, but it is what it is. But Pat P didn't have a good week last week. He was one of three. Out of three questions, he got one correct. So let's see what he has for us today. We've been getting big time questions from our listeners and our viewers because they love this part of the show and they try to stomp Pat P. First question for you: who will be on the cover of Madden 22? Either he don't know it or he froze on us.
I'm here.
Oh, you're here. You back. He back.
Tom Brady, Pat Mahomes.
Oh, dang. We got to go to the committee. That freeze might have gave him an opportunity to look it up. We don't know.
Man? Eric is the producer. What froze? What are you talking about?
Huh? You froze on us.
Hey, I don't know what you're talking about, Jack.
Yeah, okay.
Tom Brady, Pat Mahomes.
There's an asterisk on that one. Okay, we'll give you that one. Next question for you then. Since you're feeling good and you just stole one on us, which NFL player would be a growth and engagement advisor for NASCAR?
Froze again.
No, you ain't. You see. We see your eyes blinking.
Damn, I don't know that one.
Alvin Kamara. He'll be a growth. Yes, yes. Just recently, you know, announced, I think a day or so ago, growth and engagement advisor. I don't know what that role is, but he will be working with NASCAR. Said he got his own office and his own key card. Next question for you. John Rahm, friend of the show. We had John Rahm during the football season. If you guys missed that episode, it's definitely in your feed. We actually had John Rahm rap some Kendrick Lamar.
Yep.
That's his favorite rapper, if I'm not mistaken. So check that episode out. But he captured his first major by winning the U.S. Open. Pat P, you better know this one. What did he finish in the tournament?
What place? Like, what did he shoot? Or what did he shoot for the day? Like, what question we need to be answered?
Okay, I'm sorry. You want to get technical. Where did he – okay, what place did he finish?
He finished first. He shot 400.
What was the final score?
Six under.
Okay.
And he was 4 under on the day.
Okay. Well, you got okay. So that listen, you got now I'm not gonna say two right.
Yeah,
you got 1.5 right because that Madden question you froze on us. We don't know where you went. Speaking of John Rahm, who was phenomenal, had an outstanding performance. What are your takeaways from the U.S. Open and his victory?
Man, John just stayed steady. You know, he was never like he was always in the upper echelon as far as the score, the leaderboard, as far as top 20. I don't think he ever fell anywhere lower than that. But he didn't play amazingly, like none of the three days prior to Sunday. You know, it was Sunday, he just turned it on, made putts when he needed to make putts. And a lot of guys, I won't say they handed over the tournament, but a lot of guys hit some shots that you would never see, like, pros hit in those moments. Like, Louis putting the ball in the junk. I believe that was on 17, if I'm not mistaken. You know, my man Russell not able to kind of pull it through, who was playing solid, but playing a little shaky Saturday, holding on. Who else was up there? Bryson taking an 8. I think it was an 8 or a 7 on a hole. So, you know, a lot of things felt John way, but at the same time, like I said, John just stayed steady. You know, he didn't make any mistakes. You know, he made the putts that he needed to make. He hit a bunch of fairways. And he just did what he needed to do to close out that awesome U.S. opening.
Hey, outstanding day for John Rahm. Like I said, friend of the show, we love to see our guests go out and do what they're supposed to do because we kind of believe we're, you know, that rabbit's foot from time to time. So shout out to John Rahm winning the major this past weekend. Now it's time to transition to seven questions. Seven questions is where we get a chance to interact with you, the listener and viewer. If you want your question to be answered in the future, leave a question attached to a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and we may get to it on the show. This question comes from Tyler_Fulgham, who's a big-time Rams fan, by the way. Shout out to Tyler. Thank you for this question. This question is for you, Pat P. Which cornerback in the NFL would you like to see come out of retirement and play alongside you in today's NFL, and why?
It'll be Prime for sure. Just because, you know, Prime didn't have, you know, the things that we have today as far as the social media. Mm-hmm. Like I would love to see just Prime just interact with fans on social media, or how much bigger his brand could be. You know what I mean? His brand is it speaks for itself.
Hey, speaking of that, could you imagine what Prime's story would look like every Sunday leading up to the game or just the week of? You know what I mean? His story time would probably be phenomenal. That would be must-see IG story viewing if Prime was available playing, like you said, in today's game, because I think his story would be phenomenal, entertaining. And think about the bag, too, Pat P, that Prime would be able to receive. Because, you know, Prime was making big-time money in a time where corners wasn't really getting paid like that. And you know what corners are getting paid now. So with his personality and the way he balled out, whew.
Yeah, it'll be Prime hands down. And not only from that aspect, but, you know, the knowledge that he have and will be able to share on, like Champ Bailey alluded to. You know, when he had an opportunity to play at Prime in Washington for that, I think he said, what, a year and a half maybe or something like that. But Prime would definitely be my guy who I would want to come out of retirement. What about you, Matt?
Ooh, I'll probably go Mel Blount.
Mel Blount?
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, Mel Blount, you know, changed the game in an era where they didn't really throw the football a lot. But yeah, just imagine if he played in this era where they consistently thrown it. The
remember
numbers.
What he said? He said he'd have two picks again.
Yeah. He said that with confidence. Like, I have two picks a game. With his size and his speed, man. Now, I don't know if he would have been able to do what he was doing because, you know, they changed the rules because of how dominant he was. But maybe, yeah, I go Mel Blount.
That's not a bad choice either. I like Mel.
No doubt. Definitely. Thank you, Tyler.
For us DBs, for sure.
Say it again.
He definitely changed the game for us DBs and for receivers, for sure.
Oh, no question. Big time question coming from Tyler_Fordrum. Thank you for that question. Like I said, if you'd like to have your question show up in our show, you know what to do. Leave a 5-star review attached to your question, and we may get to it. Before we get to halftime, it's time for shout-outs. We also want to remind everyone that you can find us on Instagram at All Things Covered Pod. Each week, we give clues for our next guest. And the first person to guess correctly, they will get a follow and a shout-out on the pod. So we have to shout-out Billy Hoadley for correctly guessing Antrell Roe last week. Shout-out to Billy. Thank you for guessing correctly. And we gave you a shout-out, and we will follow you. Again, follow us at All Things Covered Pod for the very best content from the show. Now it's halftime for us, Giant fans. Like I said, we got a special guest for you guys. On the other side of the break, we'll be joined by Xavier McKinney, second year safety for the New York Giants, coming out of Roll Tide. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Ladies and gents, we're back from halftime. You guys know how we roll. We go into halftime, we make a few adjustments, we hydrate Pat P. He might eat some oranges or something like that. I'm going to put my headphones in, get some new tunes, get ready to go for the second half. So we back on the football field. We needed to add a dynamic player to the secondary. Pat P, he's at one corner. I'm at the other corner. We had to add a dynamic safety. Giant fans, G-men, stand up. Giants in the building. We got a treat for you guys. Young stud, young bull that will be commanding the secondary for you guys in year two. New York Giants safety, like I said, he's entering his second season in the National Football League, former second round pick out of Alabama. You can follow him on Twitter and Instagram, the same name, McKinney15_. Xavier McKinney, second year talented safety for the New York Giants, joining us here, All Things Covered, Pat Peterson, Brian McFadden. X-Man, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me, man. I've been watching the show, been wanting to get on, man. You reached out, so I'm glad to finally be on here one time.
Man, we appreciate
you. Definitely happy to have you on.
Yes, sir. Yeah. We appreciate you joining us. You know, you and Pat P got the SEC ties. We all have the same ties of playing in the secondary. Let's go back to the beginning. You know, for you, a talented player, you know, a high school player, a lot of recruiting experts predicted that you would choose Clemson over everybody else, but you decided to go with the Crimson Tide. You know, how close were you to signing with Clemson, and why did you decide to go to Alabama?
Yeah, man, it was a tough one. I went to the Under Armour game, and actually the day that I was supposed to, you know, commit out on the TV, earlier in the day, I was saying Clemson, and that was kind of that's what I was going with at first, and then kind of last second, I just switched. Then I said Bama, and I told the production people, the TV people, and for me, I had a couple teammates on my high school team at the time that were going to Clemson also, but I didn't really want to kind of follow. Their footsteps. I kind of wanted to go in my own direction. So I just made that switch over. My family loved it. I love the choice. Obviously, it was a great decision for me. And, we rolled with it. We went with it. But it was close, man. It was like it was down to the wire because it was really showing love. I got a lot of love for them still. Their coaches showed me a lot of love. So, it was tough. But at the end of the day, I was happy with the decision that I made.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think the decision you made definitely ended up paying out for you. What was it like stepping into a situation with so much talent around you, finding a way to contribute to the team success your freshman year?
It was definitely different, man. Cause when, I was the big dog in high school, everybody, when you're in high school, everybody the big dog. So you kind of used to, being that guy right now. And, when I went to Bama, I had that same mindset going into it. Obviously, I didn't get to be that guy. There's a lot of great guys around me. So the whole time I just went in and I competed. That was probably the toughest year, that I think I had playing wise, just because it was hard day in, day out, as far as practices, meetings, games, not playing as much as I was used to playing. But like I said, I just went in, day out. I competed in practice, competed in the film room. I literally did everything that I could do, try to get out on that field quicker and be able to have a big impact on the team. So it was definitely a challenging experience for me. But I think it was something that was real humbling for me because I realized how I really had to work and really had to, strive to get to where I wanted to be. And it wasn't easy at all. So that's just kind of what I went through my first year there at Bama.
I got you. X, man, when I was coming out, when I was going to LSU, I knew I was going there to spend 3 years and I was getting the heck up out of there.
Yeah.
What was your thought process, going through, obviously knowing that when your eligibility could possibly be up or like, did you ever have NFL in the hindsight or was it something that you was solely focused on?
Yeah, man, I'm not gonna lie. So going into it, I knew, and that was another big reason why I chose Bama, man, because I knew that Saban was gonna be in the room with me. I also knew that, us being able to get those DBs into the league, there were really high chances of that, and also Saban being the coach and helping us get there. So that definitely factored into it. When I went in, my mindset was, I want to be 3 and done. And I didn't get that first year, but, coming into that second year, I was locked in. I was locked in my first year, but even more so my second year, because I knew what I had to do to get to where I wanted to be. But I definitely knew that going to Bama would definitely increase my chances. I just had to do what I need to do on the field and off the field. Also, just being there and knowing how we kind of do things with the school stuff. So I definitely knew that it would give me a high probability of getting to the next level.
Yeah, speaking of your former coach, Nick Saban, we had him on the show during the season. Outstanding episode for the listeners and viewers that are watching this. If you missed that episode with Nick Saban, check out in the feed. You definitely won't be disappointed. This is a two-part question for you, Xavier. He recently signed a contract extension. I think it's a 3 or 4 year extension or something like that. First part of the question, how long do you think Nick Saban will continue to coach at Alabama? And the second part, is there any funny stories you can share with us involving Nick Saban and maybe you or maybe a teammate, something that we don't usually see from Nick Saban? Because, usually when we see Nick Saban, he's in front of a microphone. He's very, very professional. He's blunt. He's straightforward. But is there any fun stories you can share with us regarding Nick Saban? And number one, how long do you expect to see him coaching college football?
Well, I think he's going to coach till he can't coach no more, to be honest with you. I think the biggest question always been, how many more years he got left. But I keep seeing him, or everybody keeps seeing him sign these extensions, and it's kind of just like, well, damn, like he probably going to keep doing it till he can't. So I think he'll do it until he can't no more. So, and I think it's a great thing to see. I think everybody's been kind of doubting that, and they'll try to throw that into recruiting because they were doing that when I was. A lot of other teams that were recruiting me were, you know, were saying, "Oh, Saban might not be there," and he's still there. So, I think he'll go as long as he can. And then for the second part, any funny stories? I don't really got a lot, man. He real locked in. He never really. He joked, but he kind of joked in his own way. He kind of socially awkward a little bit, but it's in a funny way for sure. But there's also been times where, you know, in practice, you know, he'll get on the defense because, you know, of course we had the Waddles, we had the Smitties, we had the Judy. So we have our days sometimes where, you know, they was going at us and they were scoring real quick. So he'd have his days where, you know, he'd be mad at us, but he ain't really have no super funny things happened while I was there.
Yeah, we can only imagine the coach was super, super locked in doing that interview we had with him a couple episodes ago. X, you had the opportunity to practice against Jalen and Tua during your time at Alabama. This is a two-part question as well. What was it like practicing against those guys each and every day? And also, what do you expect out of those guys entering year two?
Practicing against them was difficult, man. It was some tough days just to know every day you're gonna get work from them first round guys. Those are gonna be some great receivers in the league. So just going against those guys day in and day out, it was definitely a tough a challenge for me and all the other DBs. But for me, I was just more of just kind of watching film every day, trying to figure out what their tendencies was. I started to kind of pick up on them as time went on. And there would be days where, you know, I asked Tua, like, "Hey, what you looking at? Like, when you looking at me, what am I doing that I need to do? Or what can I do to throw you off your game?" So we kind of asked each other, and he would ask the same thing just about, you know, what his looks are like, if he's looking me off, if, like, just different things in his game that he might need to switch up that I see. So we were definitely that type of group where we were making each other better at the same time. We were making sure that, you know, the talent was there. Everybody knew the talent was going to be there, but we also trying to make sure that, you know, everybody was also getting better at the same time. So those were the biggest things. And then as far as playing them, man, I think it's just going to be a real competitive atmosphere, man, because I know J-Dub, Waddle, and he's a real competitive guy. I know y'all have seen it in the games, mm-hmm. Just by how he plays. And Tua's competitive, too. He don't talk a lot. He ain't going to say much, but he gonna do a lot. So I think it'll be real competitive. I think it'll be fun. And Raekwon on the team, too, so I already know how he is. He's gonna be talking a whole bunch of trash. So we're gonna have to bring it that game. But it's definitely gonna be fun though.
Yeah, Xavier, what do you say when you hear some of the criticism that Tua Tagovailoa is receiving already? I mean, he just was highlighted for throwing a few interceptions in the rain. It seems like people are questioning, can he be a franchise quarterback for the Miami Dolphins? You know him personally, and you know him as a baller. What is your response when you hear some of the criticism that he's getting, and the season hasn't even started off?
Hey, overreact. Yeah, man, that's what I think. I think they're overreacting. That's all that is. I mean, it's practice. So obviously in practice, you know, I was actually reading something about what he said. It's actually the time, if he going to throw those picks, it's
throw them
practice
now.
The time to do it. So
yeah,
I think they're overreacting. I think he's going to do well. But like I said, it's just practice. That's everybody messed up. You know, I get beat, you know, but it's for practice. That's what practice for. So. Yeah. I'm not tripping about it.
Well, another quarterback, you know, from Alabama, it seems like you guys have become quarterback you over the last few years, is Mac Jones. Yeah. Mac Jones had a video game-like season last year. Granted, didn't even win the Heisman, and some felt like he wasn't even the best player on the team offensively because he had some other elite guys surrounding him that got drafted. But how surprised were you to see what Mac Jones was able to do? And if you had one game you needed to win, everything was on the line. You needed to win. I mean, your dad bet his house on this ball game, Xavier. He put the house and the dog on the line, and you got to go win this ball game, which quarterback you going to choose? Mac Jones, Jalen Hurts, or Tua Tagovailoa?
Oh, man. Mac, no. I wasn't surprised about what he did at all, man. I remember our freshman year, man, we used to be in the same dorm. We weren't living in the same dorm, but I'd go over their dorm. It was, I think it might have been Judy and Mac and somebody else. They were all rooming together, but I'd be over there and he'll be, you know, looking over studying plays like 24/7. That's all he was doing. And then, you know, that second and third year, it was more of, you know, I was on the starting defense, but he was still on the scout team. And just to see how he worked every day, just to see all the work he put in the film room and out on the field, I really didn't take it as any surprise, man. I think the year before, when Tua was still there and people was questioning, oh, is Mac going to – I don't know about Mac, blah, blah. It was a lot of questions, man. I had all the faith in the world, man. I knew he was going to ball. There was never a question for me just because I saw the work that he put in. So I knew it was no question that he was going to ball, man. So I was definitely proud of him, proud of the team. You know, that they were all in – my class, the big contributors to that, to last year's team, were all in my class, man. So I definitely felt a part of that. It was something special that they did, and I was definitely happy for them. And as far as the QB thing, man,
yeah, the house and the dog on the line. You got to win this ball game. You lose the dog and the Yorkie. You lose the Yorkie in the house.
Man, I think it all just depends, man. I can't even choose one because all them guys, man. I love all of them as QBs. To have all of them all on the same team is kind of ridiculous. Like when you look back on it, it's crazy. So I think it just depends on how you want to win. That's how I say it. So I'm not gonna choose one. It just depends on however you want to win. You got a selection between all three of them. So it's kind of like a pick your poison type of thing.
Well, X, I'm gonna choose one for you. I'm taking Jalen. I'm gonna take Jalen with the dog, with the house and the dog on the line. I'm taking Jalen.
Okay, that's a great pick, though.
Hey, Pat P. The one thing about Jalen Hurts, all he did was win, though.
That's it.
That's all he did, man. Hey, that dude there, man. He helped me out so much, and I don't even think I never really told him or nothing like that, but that dude helped me out so much as far as a mental standpoint, just because he showed me so much in what a leader should be. He was one of those dudes where, you know, even in the off seasons when we were conditioning, he always, you know, was the first to do everything, like everything. And it was crazy to watch it happen and kind of see it, you know, but I learned from him. And, you know, when he left, you know, that was something that I wanted to be the same way. Like that dude is he's the definition of a real true competitor. Just how he played, how he carried himself. He never was too high. He never was too low. You never saw a time where, you know, them games where he got pulled or anything that happened. Like there was he didn't have no type of facial. It was just like, it was still, he was just even keel, man. And he'll go in the game and still play like he was playing the whole damn game. So that dude's a true competitor, man. And he really helped me out a lot in my career there at Bama.
So we're going to fast forward a little bit. I want you to take me through draft night. You know, take me through draft night. How was draft night? Where you were? Obviously, we all have high hopes of going, you know, first round, and that didn't happen for you. But how did you embrace going early day two?
Ah, man, draft day. So draft day, that was probably one of the craziest experiences that I had. I was at the crib. Obviously, we had the COVID situation going on. I had all my family, friends, you know, pretty much everybody was over there. But I was at the crib. You know, the projections was I was supposed to be going first round. That's kind of all I was hearing. And obviously, it was going to be 17 to the Cowboys. Sitting there and you know, that time was, you know, coming up. And then I didn't hear my name called. So just kind of sitting there waiting some more time, just thinking that, you know, another team would take a chance on me just because of all the pre-draft stuff, that the interviews and stuff when I was talking to the teams and the organizations of what they were telling me. And it was a couple other teams that were saying, hey, if you're here, we're going to get you, blah, blah. and you know, they passed out on me, whatever. So that whole day, it was kind of like toward the end of the first round, I was like, I don't know. Like, it was kind of getting kind of like, I might not make it. So ended up not making it that first day, man. And that was probably the biggest, if I'm gonna be honest, that was the biggest like heartbreak like I ever felt, man. It was shocking. It threw me off like hella, because when you're seeing a lot of this stuff come out, and it's hard not to, like, in that type of moment, knowing how big the situation is and knowing like what's on the line, it's hard not to look at that stuff. You know what I'm saying? It's hard not to take it in and be like, oh, like I might be here. I might be there. So I was definitely seeing it. You know, it was everywhere, like I said, and this is what was being told to me. So it didn't happen. Like I said, I was heartbroken. Then next thing you know, it was kind of like a thing where, you know, that second day, man, I ain't want nobody to come back to the crib, man. It's real though. Like, I was, I felt embarrassed just knowing all the work that I put in, just knowing how much I put into my craft, just knowing that, you know, how prepared I was for the moment. And, just, you know, I just feel like that the first round weight, it just holds a different type of weight. So I was definitely prepared for it, but it didn't happen. Ended up talking to my fam, my mom, my dad, my brother, my grandparents, and my girl. And it was kind of just like a thing where, you know, they thought it was best if, you know, everybody were to come back, because they had been with me through all the hard times before in my life. So I decided to kind of, you know, kind of put my pride aside, man, and you know, have them there, because, you know, they were there for me through all the bad times, through all the good times. So I wanted them there for the moment, whenever that moment came up. And to go early second, man, when I heard my name, it was kind of just like a big relief, a big weight off my shoulders. I was real happy. My fam was real happy. My friends were happy. So it was a good moment from there. And the rest was kind of history, man. We had fun that night. We enjoyed it. We kicked it. But at the end of the day, I knew that I still had a lot of work to do. And that was still something that, you know, it still bothered me. Even when I did get drafted and heard my name, because I just felt like I was just disrespected a lot on a lot of different levels, especially knowing all the guys that they took in front of me. So that was just something that was still on my mind. Yeah, like I said, I just knew that I still had a lot to do.
Man, you make sure you allow that to bother you your entire career. For and sure. Allow that to bother you from the back, so it's pushing you forward. You know what I mean? That will always keep you in the right direction. And it's funny that you mentioned the Cowboys, because I wasn't aware that the Cowboys are a team that you actually thought you would go to in the first round. Mm-hmm. So knowing your story, you missed the first six ball games because of an injury, clearly derailed the expectations you probably set for yourself, the expectations the organization had for you. But eventually you got into the lineup, and your first career interception happened in the final game against the said Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
So anytime you face off against the Cowboys, is that a personal matchup? And secondly, what was the moment like for you getting that first career interception? Because I don't care who you are as a defensive back. I don't care if you're a starter. I don't care if you're a role player, a teams guy. Anytime you get that first interception, you're going to remember it. You're going to remember the play. But take us through that moment. What was the play call, and what were you supposed to do, and how good did it feel to finally get the interception?
Yeah,
against the Cowboys at that.
Yeah. I think everything came full circle for me. Like I said, that was supposed to be the team that was going to get me. That was the team that was talking to me a lot, you know, and they liked me when I was interviewing and all that stuff. So, you know, missing those, and it was more than six. I think I missed the first. I think it was like the first 10 or something like that. It was a lot. I missed a lot of games, but
you missed the first 10.
Yeah. So coming back and you know, playing well, and you know, actually my first pick was supposed to be against the Ravens, man. I was supposed to have two that game. Looking back at it, I think that might have been like my first real game actually like being out there. So I was still a little rusty, trying to get some rust off. But having that pick against the Cowboys, man, that was great, because going into that game, I knew what we needed to do to to have a chance to even make the playoffs, I knew it was a big game going in. I knew what was on the line. So for me, and I also knew that week I was actually playing stars. So when I came back, I wasn't even playing in my position. So I had to, learn a whole new, kind of like a whole new spot. Just as far as, what I was doing, especially coming off of an injury, not being there. So it was definitely a lot on my plate. It was stuff that I could obviously handle. But it's definitely, for me, I take it personal, every time I play the Cowboys from here on the rest of my career. That's just how I feel about that situation. So I think it was definitely a hell of a play call. I think we were in seven. Cover seven there, and I was doubling backside. I think it was one receiver on that side.
Cover seven for you guys is what? Is that like quarters? Is that, what is that?
Yeah, it was like quarters for us. We started running it later in the season. We weren't running it too much at first, but it was like quarters for us. But I was actually doubling backside. And, I kind of just made a play on the ball because the ball was actually going to the front, the three-man side. So made a play on the ball, and I ended the game, and it was a great feeling, man. I was happy, but then I had to turn around and watch the damn Eagles do what they did. So y'all know how that situation went, but hey, it is what it is, man. We came out, we did what we had to do. We didn't ultimately get to where we wanted to be. So hey, it is what it is. We'll get there next year.
Hey, X, do you guys, or do you feel some type of way towards the Eagles knowing that they did handle business in week 17?
I would be lying to you if I said I didn't, man. I'm not going to lie. It was tough, man, because like I said, those were my first, I should have had two that game too. One got called back, but that was my first pick, and knowing the year that I had, just being injured like pretty much the whole year, and then coming back and being able to help my team get to where we were supposed to be, and then going home, like we all celebrate in the locker room, everybody happy. We like, hey, hopefully the Eagles take care of business, which I'm sure they will. It was a winnable game for them. And actually, when I came home, man, I ain't even watched the game because I had a feeling something like that was gonna happen. It was gonna be something weird going on because they had stuff going on the whole year with the whole quarterback situation. Right. They didn't know what was going on. So I didn't watch the game. I kept score. And then actually in the DB chat, we was actually just talking about it. And as the game was going on, they started just saying like, wow, like, just one word responses. I'm like, damn, what the hell? Like, what's going on? So I go look, I turn on the game and I start watching. And I'm like, damn, like they just about to give it up.
And they gave it up.
It gave it up, man. So it was rough. It was rough to see it happen like that. But, everything happens for a reason. A lot of the games that we played last year, like a lot of the games that we lost, it was all on us. It wasn't nothing that the other teams did. So, that was kind of just what we got at the end of it. So we just got to be better as far as the little things and how we handle our business.
So talking about this current group of guys with the Giants, you guys made a lot of additions through the draft via free agency. Kenny Galladay has been added. Kadarius Toney, explosive offensive weapon, has been added. You guys been making some major moves, Xavier. What is the vibe like, with this current group of guys for 2021? How different, what's the difference when you look at the ball club compared to what you guys had last year with the additions on both sides of the football, adding Adoree Jackson as well to the secondary? Man, how good can the Giants be this year?
Man, I think we got an opportunity to be really good, man. I think, obviously, we're going in to year two. The coaches will be here year two. A lot of the players, year two. So I think the chemistry is there. Like I said, we just had camp and everything. The energy was great. A lot of guys, I mean, obviously, it's real early. But
who looked pretty good in camp, mini camp? Who was kind of like standing out a little bit to you?
I mean, everybody, it was kind of, for us, we had like it was kind of like shadowing. So we weren't really going, full tilt.
Gotcha.
But the reason why I say the chemistry part, I'm just talking about as far as just the communication of everybody was comfortable with each other. So But, you know, we were after practice, we would go watch film. It was just little things like that that we did where we were a lot more together than we were last year, just because we're a lot more comfortable with each other. And like I said, a lot of the people that came in last year, they didn't go through the camps with us. Mm-hmm. It was certain stuff. Sometimes some of the players weren't there at the beginning of the season. So it was a lot of different pieces that were added. But going through that year and then having this offseason, we actually had the DBs. We went on a trip down to Tampa. Logan Ryan actually set it up for us, man. And it was a great trip, man. We're down in Tampa. We did some DB stuff, DB drills. We did some bonding stuff, went out to eat, got on the yacht, all type of stuff. So I think we got a really, really great opportunity in front of us, man. I think, you know, we've gelled. I still think we got a lot of room, and it's still a lot more to do. But as far as it goes right now, I think, you know, everything's been great. And I think we got a great, great opportunity to do something special.
Hey, Xavier, individually, what are some of the things you want to work on to take your game to the next level?
Man, I've always been a guy that's like, every time I get that question, for me, I want to improve everything in my game. For me, I know that I'm going to be asked to play different positions. I'm going to be asked to do different things in the defense. And I pride myself on being versatile. And I've told you this before when we've talked. And I pride myself on being versatile. So every little thing that I feel like I need to work on, that's what I try to do, whether that's covering, whether that's blitzing, you know, it could be anything. So I kind of just watch. I study my own game and I try to figure out what are the negatives in my game. And I try to turn those negatives into positives. So there will never be a time where, you know, I feel like I don't have anything to work on. I think even the things that I'm really good at, I feel like I still need to improve and sharpen that up for my game.
Hey, man, make sure y'all don't be getting on yachts during the bye week, all right?
Nah.
who was that? Victor Cruz and Odell and all those guys getting in trouble during the season. But what do you believe the Giants have to do or be, like, far as a team, to be the best team in the NFC East in 2021?
I think we got to do our job, man. We got to do the little things right situationally. We got to compete. And, you know, like I was saying about last year, a lot of the games that we lost, it was on us. It was because it was always the little small things we'll lose about. It might have been a middle error, or it might have been somebody was a tad offsides, or it was just little things that we can always sharpen up. Or they weren't really big, but I just think we got to do our job. We got to go in and handle our business the right way. And I think, like I said, I think we can do something real special.
Is Daniel Jones the guy? Did you see a jump from last year to this year?
Man, DJ is the guy, man. I be seeing a lot of different stuff, but DJ is the guy. You know, we don't even really worry about all the other stuff. We believe in him. He believes in us. So we play as a team, and you know, we got his back and he got ours. So that's how we look at it. That's how we go into it.
I tell you this much, he got to be the guy. He better be the guy, because one thing we're starting to see with these first round quarterbacks, the shelf life is not as long as it used to be. They're going to give you about 3 years to really show, can you take this organization in the right direction? If not, they're going to try to move on. And I think you guys have improved at every spot on the team, especially if you get a healthy Saquon Barkley back. You added some wide receivers, offensive line-wise, defense-wise, on all three levels. You guys have all made improvements. It's all about the quarterback. And I can tell you this much, what Herm Edwards said, Pat P, if you don't have a quarterback, that field is 150 yards.
150.
It's not 100. It's 150 you don't have a quarterback. But he is the Daniel Jones, in my opinion, is the key to success.
Yeah.
Plays good football, smart football, protect the football. Everything else will work itself out, especially if you're healthy. So, yeah, he has to be the guy. And hopefully he is the guy, because you guys will definitely be a much improved team if Daniel Jones is doing what he's supposed to do along with everyone else. X, we're going to transition to the superlative part of our show. Here's where we hit you with rapid-fire questions. We want your honest, unbiased answer. First question for you. Quarterback you want to pick off the most this upcoming season? We talked about some of the teams you play. You will play the Miami Dolphins with your teammates, teammate Tua. You got the Eagles twice. You also got the Chiefs, the Buccaneers. You got some talented, explosive quarterbacks. But which quarterback are you looking forward to picking off the most?
Gotta say the GOAT, man, Tom Brady.
Tom Brady.
I missed that game last year, was injured. So I think I'm going to go with Tom Brady. That's the quarterback I want to pick off the most.
Gotcha.
Best moment as a fan, we recently saw you attend your first hockey game, and also we know that you're a huge Chelsea fan who just won the championship league. What is your best moment as a fan?
Best moment as a fan? Man, I ain't going to lie, man. I'm still trying to get out to a Chelsea game. Haven't been able to do it yet. I haven't had the time yet. But I definitely will do that eventually. But I'll say best moment as a fan was probably going to the hockey game that I just recently went to. The vibe was crazy. Everything was kind of, huh?
Playoff atmosphere.
Yeah, the playoff atmosphere. It was crazy, man, because it was my first one. I didn't realize that hockey games was – I didn't think it was going to be that many people, honestly. And then when I went in, first when we pulled up to the arena – it was a whole bunch of cars, and I'm like, damn, I ain't know it was gonna be like this. So, I think that was the best moment as a fan. It was fun, and I enjoyed it.
All right, top five safeties in the NFL right now.
Oh man, I gotta go with Mink. I like Buddha. Well, I like Tyrann Mathieu. What else I wanna go with? I gotta go with Eddie Jackson, and then. Four to five. I'm probably gonna go with Jamal Adams, man. Yeah.
There are a lot of SEC guys in there. I'll let you for it, Mac.
a lot of Alabama guys in there too. No Derwin James.
I gotta include them, man.
All right. I know this is a long list to pick from, but I got to ask you, which Alabama you think from this past year draft will have the biggest impact this year?
Ooh.
You got Jalen Waddle, Devontae, yeah, Mac Jones, Pat Surtain, Najee.
I'm probably going to go with the biggest impact. I'm probably going to go with Najee.
Yeah.
I've been talking to him. He's been doing real well. As far as I can see. But I think he's going to have the biggest impact. I think he's going to be playing the biggest role, in my opinion. So I got to go with Najee.
No question. I play fantasy football. I know y'all guys don't tap into that. But fantasy-wise, I think he's going to be a big-time fantasy get for whatever individual drafts him fantasy, because he's going to be a day-one starter. He's going to be a three-down back. He's going to get all the reps in the red zone, goal line, and he's going to catch the football out of the backfield. And like you said, he's been ripping it up so far.
Yeah,
he's doing a great job. So I second that with Najee Harris. Well, Xavier, man, it was a pleasure having you join us here. All Things Covered, Pat Peterson, Brian McFadden.
Yes,
man, best of luck to you this season. We appreciate you joining us and you rocking the Giants gear, man. I know the Giants fans are going to be happy to hear what you have to say regarding this upcoming season, because they are excited. You guys made a lot of big time additions. I know the team is ready to go, and it will be. The stadium will be filled. So this will be your first time playing in MetLife in front of people, because last year you didn't get a chance to do that.
Nope. Yeah, it's gonna be fun, man. We've been waiting on this moment. We've been wanting the fans to get back in the stadium. So we're definitely excited. We're ready for them to get loud. It'd be my first time. It'd be a lot of our first times kind of being in MetLife with fans. So it'll be fun, and I'm excited for it.
Awesome. Hey, man, stay healthy. Yes, sir.
Yeah. Stay healthy, sir. I appreciate it.
Thanks again to Xavier McKinney, and thanks to everyone for listening to this episode of All Things Covered. If you like what you hear, make sure to follow and leave a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts. We'll be back soon where you can expect all things to be covered. Peace.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.